So what a terrific picture that Jesus was painting there of the end of the temple in Jerusalem. Today's gospel passage from Luke is Jesus' prophetic teaching to the crowd about the coming destruction of the temple and all the events around that. In Mark and Matthew, Jesus teaches his disciples about things and these things, and actually includes a whole lot of things about the end times as well. But in Luke, Luke just describes about what Jesus says about what would happen around the fall of Jerusalem. And Luke's readers would have been aware of these things and what happened before that, because the whole of Acts is actually written about the time up till that time as well, before the fall of Jerusalem, but all about when Luke wrote Luke and Acts, he was writing it about 15 years after that these things had happened. So the temple was that center of Jewish life and identity. It is where God was expected to come and be most present among his people. It was adorned with precious and beautiful stone and with special gifts dedicated to God, with beautiful tapestries, with ornaments for worship, with gold. Naturally, people would be awed by its immense size. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, it is an enormous platform that's still left as to where it was. And the stones were enormous. There's one place you can see where they were thrown down, and the broken stones are still at the bottom of that bit of wall. And they are enormous. It really is an awe-inspiring place. It would have been an awe-inspiring place. There would be nothing like it. Now, we have lots and lots of cathedrals and grand buildings that we can see either directly or, through pictures or whatever. But they would have had none of that. This really was a very special place. So to think of its destruction would be horrific. And yet, when it was destroyed, along with Jerusalem, the suffering of the Jewish people was even worse. And the slaughter and the carnage that the Romans inflicted was appalling. Luke's readers would have been aware of all of this and of how, as described in Acts, all the predictions that Jesus made about his followers had come about. We see lots of things in Acts about his followers being persecuted, driven out of Jerusalem. All those sorts of things were there. So how does this apply to us? Is Jesus speaking to us in our situation? The questions to ask ourselves are we also living in turbulent times? Are there catastrophic forces at work causing suffering and pain in our time too? In our global or our local world? So even though this is all about catastrophic times around the fall of Jerusalem, about AD 70, there's a great deal in this passage that applies to catastrophic times now too. If these terrible things happened to and amongst the followers of Jesus then, they will happen to us too. In the midst of terrible circumstances, a world that seems to be even more full of distress and suffering, we too can receive this teaching of Jesus and live as he commands. So what might we learn from Jesus' teaching? First is that we should not be worried by what seems to us to be catastrophic political upheavals or horrific happenings. God is involved. The Jewish war and the destruction of the temple were absolutely catastrophic for the Jewish nation. And the Jewish followers of Jesus would have also felt very distressed about it all. And yet, Jesus is quite explicit. Even such a catastrophic event does not shake or undermine the purposes of God. Do not be terrified, he says. We have the assurance of God's faithfulness in the face of difficult or distressing times. Secondly, in uncertain times, Jesus' followers are bound to face opposition. As the political situation in Israel got hotter, the Christians in particular were persecuted. Even today, when things are being shaken, people feel insecure and they are quick to find scapegoats and disparage, slander, abuse, criticize minority groups like Christians. We should not be surprised. Thirdly, this is an opportunity to testify, to witness to God in one's life. Difficult times are an opportunity to speak of God and what he does for us. This opportunity to witness does not require us to have a pat testimony all prepared or our theology all worked out in advance, or to know, for example, everything about why bad things happen to good people or why there is suffering in the world. It's a time to be rather rooted with confidence in the good news of Jesus Christ and ready and practiced in speaking of God in each of our present circumstances. And it's a time to trust in the Spirit of Jesus to guide and direct us in speech and action in the moment. Jesus himself will provide the strength, the words, and the wisdom for this witness. That's what he's saying to his followers, both then and now to us. And then from verse 8, this is also a time to be rooted in the teaching of Jesus and not to be blown off course by the various teachings that are claiming to be from him, but in fact are misleading us away from the gospel. In tough times, hanging on to Jesus and his words is even more important so that we don't get distracted by doctrines that aren't centered on him. And Jesus warns here particularly against those who claim to know God's timetable. We're not to focus on teaching about end times or those who say, the time is near. And then he says that this will be a time of division, even division within households. After all, Jesus was clear that, in an important sense, he came to bring division and disorder. There will be those who consider Jesus and those who don't. That's painful, but we can expect it. Jesus told us that that would be the case. And finally, the primary requirement for Jesus' followers is patient endurance. Endurance to the end. We can only endure through these events and through death itself because we know that the end is actually our resurrection. Jesus' followers were able to endure whatever suffering they experienced. And we see so much of that in Acts, and we know so much of it in the world today. Jesus' followers are able to endure this and to witness to the gospel because they knew that even death was not the end. They knew the resurrected Jesus. That's just such an amazing thing to know about the resurrection. That in the light of the of Jesus' resurrection and the promise of our own in him, we can endure. So though this passage is full of the language and imagery of destruction, it's ultimately grounded in hope. Hope that God is present and at work in our lives. Even when things have got so bad that it feels like the world is closing in on us. The hope to which Jesus testifies in this passage is no trivial denial of the struggles, the pain, the agony of human life at times, or the catastrophic forces that are in our world. No, these are real. And through the scripture, these devastations have been interpreted as the context for God's saving work. And our ultimate hope is that not just we endure keeping on, but that we will gain our souls, life in abundance, and ultimately resurrection into a new earth and a new heaven.